This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. I was more frightened than I was at Pearl Harbor. That's how one veteran, who was also a U.S. Marshal, describes the night of September 30th, 40 years ago, at the University of Mississippi. It took more than 200 marshals, 20,000 U.S. Army troops, and the cooperation of an entire state's National Guard to put down a riot that erupted when James Meredith tried to register as the first black student at Ole Miss. NPR's David Malpas presents the recollections of two soldiers who were in the midst of the turmoil.
Two people died the night of the riot. More than 300 were injured. As tragic as that was, the riot came close to being much bloodier, except for the presence of men like Henry T. Gallagher and Murray Chuckey Faulkner. They helped rescue the 200 federal marshals who were under siege by a mob of 2,500. Gallagher and Faulkner were part of the massive show of military force that kept the revolt from becoming a massacre. We'll hear both their stories. Earlier this month, NPR arranged to meet at the Memphis airport a second lieutenant who led some of the first Army troops into Mississippi. In 1962, Henry Gallagher's unit, the 716th Military Police Battalion out of Fort Dix, New Jersey, thought they were being mobilized for a major world hotspot.
Berlin or Cuba.
That's what the unit trained for. They had almost no training for domestic riot control. The MPs were joined by thousands of other Army troops in Memphis. Gallagher thought Mississippi authorities now would quickly obey federal court orders to integrate Ole Miss. By early evening, though, it was clear a different scenario was playing out.
Everything blew up that night. We got a movement order around 10 o'clock that night.
Shall we go take that drive again?
Let's do it.
Henry Gallagher took NPR down the same route his 650 troops followed to get to Ole Miss with their 140 jeeps and trucks. They started moving shortly after news reports of students pelting the U.S. Marshals with rocks, bricks, and bottles. The Marshals formed a circle around the main administration building on campus where Meredith was to register the next day.
And we could hear students yelling and going on, and up here the Marshals, you can see tear gas from there. Shotguns being fired into the air and tear gas is floating all over the place.
Virtually at that very moment, President Kennedy was on national television explaining that Meredith was on campus and there to stay. Kennedy directed some of his remarks at Mississippi's governor, Ross Barnett, who had stirred the pot of violent resistance.
No man, however prominent or powerful, and no mob, however unruly or boisterous, is entitled to defy a court of law.
Shortly after the president got off the air, he learned that the mob had set cars on fire. Gunshots rang out from the trees. The marshals began to suffer injuries. Kennedy, now barely containing his fury, got on the phone to Governor Barnett.
Well, you see, we got to get order up there, and that's what we thought we'd better have.
President, please, why don't you, can't you give an order for her to remove Mayor?
How can I remove him, Governor, when there's a riot in the street, and he may step out of that building and something happened to him? I can't remove him under those conditions.
Lieutenant Henry Gallagher's unit was quickly dispatched, with others, to the campus, but getting there proved difficult. Gallagher's convoy was slowed to a crawl, traveling down the dark ribbon of a road to Oxford, full of hills and curves. Riot supporters got in front of the MPs.
Some of the cars started coming up and blocking our path, slowing us down. We tried to pass them. They too would get in the passing lane and formed a double blockage.
The normal two-hour drive took six. When Lieutenant Gallagher got to the edge of town, he ran into more roadblocks.
One whole military unit I saw was stopped dead in its tracks under a railroad overpass, and the riders were throwing down these huge logs, these huge railroad ties and beams onto these vehicles, and they were just stuck in the path.
There were many tense moments, and not just involving rioters. The MPs encountered a group of Mississippi Highway Patrolmen at the edge of campus who were doing nothing to control the chaos. Uncertain of their loyalty, Army commanders ordered Gallagher's unit to disperse the patrolmen. The troops lined up in a V formation with bayonets pointing forward and started to march.
Sergeant came back and said, "They're not going to move. What are the orders, sir?" The radio crackled back a few minutes later, "Move everybody out." And they went right at them. There was a little confrontation, and suddenly some curse words, swear words, they all jumped into their vehicles and left.
With the army delayed, orders came down for the local National Guard to go onto the campus. Murray Faulkner, nephew of the famous writer William Faulkner, was the captain in charge of the 71-man Oxford unit. He says the order came in a phone call from Deputy Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach. Faulkner says it never crossed his mind to do anything but obey the order, even though it meant moving against fellow Mississippians. But the Kennedy administration wasn't so sure about his loyalty.
Katzenbach called back later on and said, "How long before you coming?" I said, "About 5 minutes." But I thought if you get off the phone, I could be there less than that.
Speaking with us at his farmhouse just outside Oxford, Chucky Faulkner, as everyone calls him, says his unit floored their engines and just barreled through the mob. "They would have killed us if we stopped," Faulkner says, and flying bricks did injure several guardsmen. The mob didn't know just how brave and how vulnerable the guardsmen were.
They had rifles and had bayonets, but no ammunition.
Many of the army troops, too, were ordered to put away their bullets the night of the riot as the Kennedy administration sought to minimize the violence. Since the Mississippi National Guard got to the aid of the U.S. Marshals first, Faulkner calls this the day he saved the university.
They had about 10 minutes' supply of tear gas left. And if I hadn't moved my unit to the campus when I did, the marshals would have been overrun. Rioters, they would have burned down the biggest part of the campus.
Chucky Faulkner says the mob came close several times to breaking through the marshals' lines, once when a young man on a bulldozer charged towards the steps of the administration building. The marshals created a diversion and managed to capture the driver. Then, as Faulkner says, they beat the fire out of that little boy. Back on the Ole Miss campus recently, former Army Second Lieutenant Henry Gallagher recalled the period right after the riot. "We sat on a picnic table outside Baxter Hall, where James Meredith lived till he graduated."
At each of the stops that day for his classes, he was met by a collection of students shouting at him, swearing, cursing everything, "Go back to Africa," and women too.
Meredith was under constant federal protection the entire time he was at the university. U.S. Marshals stayed next door to his dorm room at night. They also accompanied him into classrooms, and Gallagher was put in charge of a 16-man sharpshooter unit that stayed within a few seconds of Meredith every time he moved outside of Baxter Hall. Still, Gallagher says anyone with a rifle could have picked off Meredith, and there were constant threats.
"I used to sit up in this dormitory room here with him and read the letters, death threats to him, his family. They know where they lived, in a town not too far away from here. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your father, your mother, your children, your wife." And constant letter after letter I'd be reading. And he was right there studying. And I would say, "Look, have you seen this most recent accusation, this letter?" He said, "Lieutenant, I'm late for class. We've got to get to my Spanish class. Let's go." So it didn't bother him.
What does Henry Gallagher, now a Washington, D.C. lawyer, think of James Meredith?
"The most courageous person I've ever met."
Chucky Faulkner, who later rose to the rank of general in the National Guard, says he has no opinion about Meredith. But Faulkner does say the whole mess, as he calls the riots of 62, were caused by sorry politicians. "I wish," Faulkner says, "that Mississippi Governor Ross Burnett had run for governor one more time so I could vote against him." David Malpas, NPR News, Oxford, Mississippi.